welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. Appreciate your desire to be with us today as we assemble as a congregation to give our worship to our Heavenly Father. By way of information, there's an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. So please do. The lesson this morning is a follow-up from last Lord's Day's lesson. Last Lord's Day, we gave a lesson on things that hinder prayer. There was a list of about 10 of those things, and today I only have 7 things that help us. There's more things that hinder prayer, I guess, than help us. So things that hinder prayer is our lesson this morning. I know when we pray, we want God to hear us. Meaning we want God to answer our cry. A way of illustration, a while back I came home in the afternoon, opened the front door, and Christine's in the back of the house, and she shouts out, she hears the door open, she said, "Brian, is that you?" A few moments later, she comes to where I am and says, "You hear me call out to you?" I said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Well, why didn't you answer?" I said, "I did. I nodded my head." She said, "Do you expect me to hear it rattle all the way in the back of the house?" See, like when we call out to each other, we expect an answer. Same thing in our prayers to God. We call out to God, we want an answer. Put in your notes, throughout the Old Testament, or throughout the book of Psalms, David cried out to God, and he confidently declared that God heard him. Psalm 3, verse 4, "I cried out to God and confidently declared," or I cried out to the Lord my voice, "and he heard me from his holy hill." In chapter 18, it says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, crying out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." Psalm 34, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears." Psalm 66, "But certainly God has heard me, and has attended to the voice of my prayer." Psalm 118, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." In Psalm 120, "In my distress I cried to the Lord and he heard me." So just as God heard the prayers of his servant David, we may be certain also that God will hear us. However, and I put this in your notes, there are some divinely mandated conditions that are to be met for effective prayer. Not only want my voice to come to the ears of God, but I want God to take it to heart and answer the things or the requests that I've made. So I put several things the Bible mentions that will help us to be effective or successful in our prayers. Number one, strive for clean hands. It was mentioned so much in last week's lesson on things that hinder prayer, meaning the way that we live can stop an effective prayer. We don't live correctly. So on the positive side, we want to strive for clean hands. David expressed it in Psalm 24, beginning of verse 3. He asked a question. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? And here's the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. David also said in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, in other words, I keep it and I hold the wrongs that I've done and I don't make corrections, if I regard that iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me, David continues. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Isaiah uses the same illustration about cleanliness of hands, not physical cleanliness. But in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, says, when you spread out your hands, in other words, when you give your life in service to God or in ministry, says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Here's the reason. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. And here's how to wash your hands or make clean hands. Put away the evil of your doings. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. So if we want our prayers to be effective, we want God not only to our prayers to come to His ears, but we want an answer, then the illustration is wash your hands or live a life that's clean. Isaiah also said in chapter 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is His ear heavy that it can't hear. But, here's the illustration, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Clean hands. Number two, strive for confidence in prayer. Confidence. John gives this word confidence to us. 1 John chapter 5, he says, now this is the confidence we have in Him. Meaning as children, as Christians. That if we ask anything and the qualification is according to His will, He hears us. And we know, another confidence word, we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know, he said it twice, that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. But it must be according to His will. So we strive for that confidence in prayer. Jesus encouraged us to be confident. Jesus in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe. Believe that you will receive them. Confidence in prayer. James gives us the same admonition. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So let's pray. Who gives to all liberally, and it will be given him. But, here's the qualifier. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything of the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. So we think about qualifying our prayers or these divine mandates to have our prayers successful or our prayers effective. We want to strive for confidence. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, I didn't put this one in your notes, but the Hebrew says in chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Boldness? Yeah. Boldness? Faith? Believe? No. Confidence? Yeah, in prayer. It will help us. Number three is strive to be correct. In Colossians 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, meaning Jesus. Say in the name of the Lord means by the Lord's authority. When we do things in the name of the Lord, we do things in a prescribed manner. It means we pray in a manner that's been given to us by the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. If the policeman comes to a door and he says, open up in the name of the law, he means he has that authority behind him, and he's here not representing himself, but the law of the land, a higher authority. Saying then when we pray to God, we pray in the name of the Lord. Prescribed manner. We give thanks to God. We don't pray. We pray to God. We don't pray to creation. We pray to the Creator. We don't pray to rocks and trees and sun and moon and stars. We don't pray to man-made images. Don't you ever bow down before a relic and offer your prayers. You give thanks to God, the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. You don't pray to any human being, alive or dead. You give thanks to God in the name of Jesus Christ. You have that authority. That's what backs you in your prayer. And Jesus is a mediator, Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, the one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ himself, and no other. You don't go to God through anything else, through the creation, through the images, through the idols, through man, alive or dead. Don't you do it. You don't have authority for it. If you want help in prayer, you go to God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, strive to be contrite. In David's penitent prayer, Psalm 51, a phrase that he uses, he says, God, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So another help in prayer is humility. Concerning Josiah, the Old Testament king, in 2 Kings 22, verse 19, that because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before the Lord. You tore your clothes and wept before me. You, says the Lord. So number four, humility in prayer. Humility. Number five is strive to be consistent in Christian living. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, among the phrases in those instructions, he said, pray this way, forgive us our debts, but as we forgive our debtors. And then in verse 14, he says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's not consistent for us to ask God for forgiveness and then not give it to others. We're going to offer help in prayer. The things that we pray for, we better make sure that it applies to our life. In 1 John 4, someone says, I love God. Oh, yeah. We readily do that. I love the Lord. We sing songs that express that. John says, if someone says, I love God, hates his brother, he's a liar. Meaning he doesn't love God. And John goes on. He does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he's not seen? And this commandment, we have from him that he who loves God must love his brother also. So it's not consistent to say, you know, even our prayers, our life, God, I love you. But we don't love our brother who's been begotten by the same Heavenly Father. So we want to love one another so that our prayers are not hindered, so that they're effective, and that God hears and answers the request. request that we make. Number six is strive to continue in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12 gives a list of things: rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In Luke 18, verse 1, it begins, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. In Matthew 7, beginning of verse 7, in Jesus' words, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. The plural of those words, when he says, he who asks and seeks and knocks, means that it's a continuous action. You keep doing what you're doing. You don't falter after the first request. Prayer is not to be a one-time action, or prayer is a last resort. It's constant. It's over and over. It's continuous. It's steady. It's reoccurring. It's ceaseless. And when we do that, it helps us in prayer. It helps us. Number seven is strive to be charitable. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 21, verse 13, he who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he'll also cry himself and not be heard. I want my cries to God to be heard. I want God to hear the cry of others. See that consistency in life? If I want God to see my plight, or my need, then I need to see the situation in the lives of others and meet that need. We're not to be hoarders of what we have. I can't ignore the cries of those in need. I can't be selfish with my possessions. When Paul addressed those who have abundance, or they have treasure, Paul said in 1 Timothy verse, chapter 6, verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present age. All right, here's the address that Paul gives to those of us who have. Not be haughty. Don't trust in, and he calls the riches uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Oh, by the way, do not feel bad about enjoying the things that you've been blessed with. Enjoy. God blessed us richly. He doesn't tell us to give it all away till we become needy. No. God has given us richly to enjoy that which we have. But he doesn't put a period after that. He goes on and says, here's the balance. Let them do good, that you be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. How do you, when you use that phrase that Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven, how do you do that? Right there in the text. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Let them do good. Be rich in good works. Ready to give. Willing to share. And then you store up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come. Laying hold on eternal life. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Don't do that. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things that we have, but also we don't close our eyes and shut everybody else out, but we open our eyes and look. Look out. So does God hear us when we pray? The answer is a conditional yes. Sure does. But we need to meet these and other divinely mandated conditions for an effective prayer life. But you need to know also prayer is not a substitute for obedience. But not a substitute. The close of each lesson, we extend an invitation. It's an invitation for you to become a Christian if you haven't done so already. We sing a song of invitation, or a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation. And the way to become a Christian is divinely mandated. And there's a specific procedure that the Bible outlines for us. Number one, you need to hear the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 33, "Learn of me." The Great Commission is go into all the world and preach there and teach the gospel to every creature. Christianity is a taught religion. You're not born into it physically. You need to hear. Number two, you need to believe the message that you heard. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 11, verse 6, "Without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe. Believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, "Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins." So after you've heard the Word of God, the good news message, his amazing grace message, then believe it. Number three, you'll want to repent of your sins. Jesus said it in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5, "Except you repent, you'll perish." You want to perish. So we include repentance in that plan, or those steps, or that formula. Number four, you'll want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. That's what you confess. "I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son." In Acts chapter 8, when Philip preaches Jesus to the Ethiopian stops Philip in his message and says, "Here's water, anything hindering me from being baptized?" Philip says, "You believe, you may." The Ethiopian says, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip just stopped the chariot. He commanded the chariot to stand still. So then number five, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptized him. They both came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. So if you're not a New Testament Christian, and been baptized for remission of sins, when these four things fall in place, then you be baptized. Having heard the Word of God and believed it, you're willing to turn your life around. These are prerequisites to being baptized. And you confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. Then you can be baptized for remission of sins. From that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. If you're here this morning, respond to that invitation. You simply come and have a seat beside me at the close of the song. At the end of the song, I'll just simply ask you a question. What's on your